You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Derek Day.
You know, there's really two things today that we should be thinking about that are powering value. And one is content, which is what you know, and the other is networks. And that's not just who you know, but who knows you. And platforms bring both of those key things together.
Derek has spent the past 20-plus years helping organizations release the full potential of their brands. His experience is as extensive as it is diverse, encompassing the disciplines of brand strategy, advertising, sales promotion, and public relations. At the Blake Project, he manages daily operations and serves in the delivery of brand stewardship services as a brand strategist and educator. Previously, Derek held rewarding leadership roles at global advertising agency leader Saatchi & Saatchi, as well as three other respected agencies. He has led the brand strategy effort for many respected brands, including Abbott, EA Sports, FootJoy, and Wyndham Hotels. In 2006, he conceptualized and launched Branding Strategy Insider to help marketing-oriented leaders and professionals build strong brands. Today, his vision serves 50,000-plus marketers daily and is recognized by Advertising Age as the leading online resource for brand strategy and management. Derek, welcome to On Brand.
Well, thanks for having me, Nick. It's great to be here and having this conversation.
Yeah, well, this is a convergence of branding resources because Branding Strategy Insider, I'd say, is often referenced as by our guests and by the brand builders that listen. So it is amazing to track you down and to have you here. I know we were talking about it was one of those interviews where I always feel like I wished I would have hit record early because you were talking about the 14 years, I guess, since the launch of Branding Strategy Insider. And it's so amazing to think about these platforms that have become so big and so known in an industry that everything, whether it's Branding Strategy Insider, whether it's Huffington Post, it all started as a blog. So what did that? How did that journey come about for you?
Well, in those days, and it really was in those days. So 2006. Back then, I think, as blogging was really emerging, I think one of the key things behind it was really something that was called mental profit, which was thinking, understanding what you knew about what you were doing and putting it down and sharing it on the platform and seeing how others responded to it and learning from their reactions to it. And along the way, just a part of more like a personal development. When I launched this in 2006, the idea behind it was certainly to refine how I thought about brands. But it was also, I was on a mission to build a resource, the best resource for marketing-oriented leaders and professionals. And I understood that the sales message was really for our website. And I believe that if we built a very valuable resource for marketers, that eventually they may find their way to us and engage us for some of the consulting work that we do. And that happened. And along the way, we connected with a lot of really smart and fantastic people like yourself, and it just grew. Now I'm proud to say that the platform serves over 50,000 marketers daily, and it's been a catalyst for not just our own business, but also for relationships that we've been able to create, the personal and professional, and just a real learning mechanism for all of us involved with the platform, and not just the readers, but the contributors as well. You've got to get these big ideas out of your head and get them out into the world for you to understand and kind of validate what you've been thinking, and even refine what you've been thinking. And that platform, like others, has done just that. I might add that, you know, there's really two things today that we should be thinking about that are powering value. And one is content, which is, what you know and what you share. And that could be even models or thought pieces. And the other is networks. And that's not just who you know, but who knows you. And platforms bring both of those key things together.
You know, I think those are two incredibly important things, but I was guessing you were arriving at content because your whole way of backing into that being building that valuable resource, you know, is just a good advertisement for the power of content marketing, and especially in the agency / brand strategy consulting business, because it's a tired joke, but it's incredibly true. So often the cobbler's son has no shoes because we're busy doing this elsewhere. But to your point, we have to get these ideas out of our head, because nothing sells what we do better than our own thinking, and we run into all these barriers in getting it out of there, whether that's time spent on clients, whether that's a fear that by blogging about this we're going to reveal our secret sauce. It's one of the biggest things holding back business growth in terms of those working in agencies and brand consulting out there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and I do think you have to put any fear aside that you're going to be revealing something that your competitors, may steal. That's always a possibility. But the number one thing you need to be focused on is generating awareness, and 80% of marketing budgets go towards generating awareness, and especially in terms of content marketing, if you're not found, you don't exist. And you really need to share highly valuable thinking. And I think if you're going to hold back, your readership is not going to they're not going to respond as much or maybe as well as you had hoped. And you've just got to put it out there. It's something we've shared many models over the years on Branding Strategy Insider, and I can tell you that it comes back tenfold. So holding on to your biggest ideas, at least my own thinking is, it's a mistake. You need to put these big ideas out there, and especially when you're trying to attract people that are looking for big ideas.
Yeah, I mean, boy, you say it like that, and it sounds counterintuitive to do anything else. And of course, as I often say here, and yet, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, and Nick, I would also just on the topic of content marketing, one thing I would be careful of is putting things out there just to put something out there, because we're seeing kind of an arms race when it comes to content. There is people just think that it's all about how much you put out there, and no, it's quality, not quantity. And the way I look at it is, you're only as good as your last thought piece. So you have to keep that in mind, especially with shrinking attention spans. You want every word that you share to be building up this valuable thing that you're going to call a thought piece. And when you see a lot of just what I call thin content, just weak content out cluttering up our feeds, it just signals that whoever's putting that out there is really not the strategic thinker that you want to work with. So it's an example of content working against, I think, the publisher. We really, really are only as good as that last thought piece.
You know, this reminds me of the pre-show non-interview that we were having, which was talking about so many things, where I just finally said, I've got to hit record here. But we were talking about, I said, I'm blogging less. You were talking about starting your site that 14 years ago. And I talked about blogging less and podcasting more, and you talked about, you know, really thinking about what to add there. And I know I run into that too, with video being as big, and yet every other marketer is creating some form of video. What can I really contribute to this space? And I think that it's easy to miss this step of, you know, I talk a lot about checklist marketing, of doing everything for the sake of doing everything. And that can feel like something. But to your point, if it's nothing that is unique, then it doesn't add to your brand. And worse, it can subtract if it's not up to snuff. So what do you recommend, or have you seen in either consulting clients or on your platform, in terms of sort of using some, you know, some type of divining rod for knowing what forms of content you should and shouldn't be producing as a brand?
Yeah, well, it does come back. It comes back to what you're trying to achieve, right? You know, what kind of value you're trying to create in the world. And that's usually... well, it should be attached to your profession, or what kind of outcomes you're trying to create. So for us, it is helping marketing-oriented leaders and professionals build strong brands. And that is the lens that we use in everything that we publish. And if it doesn't align with that, we don't do it. So there's and as you know, Nick, the power of brands lies in focus. So we're tightly focused on what we're going to share. And even to some degree, the title Branding Strategy Insider, it keeps somewhat of a container for the topics we're going to get into. For instance, on occasion, we'll share something about advertising, but that's further downstream in the conversation from the kinds of things we're talking about when we're talking about brand strategy. And so we stay focused on exactly what our mission is. And when it comes to, I think the other side of this is also knowing your audience. So, for instance, just from a platform standpoint, we know that over 80% of our readership, they come to Branding Strategy Insider on their desktops. And we all know the trend is moving at lightning speed to mobile, but our audience is fully engaged on desktops. So we're staying true to our audience. They are also helping us point. You know, they're pointing the way to some degree. But you're right. You know, which channel do we do? Video? Do we go to podcast? Do we? I mean, can't we be everywhere? And I think you can really say that you should only be in places where you can do your best. And if you try to be in every place and you're just watering, you're just going to end up watering down the effort. And so keep your energy and your focus in the places that you can really win.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show. So in reading your bio, it talks about diverse experience working with lots of different brands, and nestled in there, and this is in the longer form of your bio, is that you helped the National Parks of New York Harbor craft the Statue of Liberty's brand strategy. And, you know, I was working with a client earlier, and was talking about branding people and communities. I'm not sure I've ever branded a statue.
Yeah, you know, that's on my bio because it's a little bit of a novelty, but it's also something I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about that is a first reaction to that, especially for non-practitioners of brand management, folks on the street, would be, why does the Statue of Liberty need any help at all? I know what the Statue of Liberty is. Why would they need any brand? Why would that need any branding help? And, you know, awareness is not a problem for the Statue of Liberty. But that doesn't mean that they don't have issues. You know, for instance, and we were selected for that work, and I was very excited to do that work. But a lot of people don't realize is there are 22 monuments and part of the National Park System in New York and New Jersey harbor area, and they are measuring success by how many people visit the Statue of Liberty. They're not measuring success by how many people have heard of it. So right. For the Statue of Liberty to be successful, they need to have lots and lots of visitors. That's what helps maintain the statue. And the other thing is, I mean, you've heard of Ellis Island, but the third and fourth and fifth and all those other the 22 locations in the area there, you probably never heard of or thought about. And so one of the things we did in this work was to link those together so they could be, in a sense, marketed as one experience. So to raise the level of awareness for these other parts that didn't have it. When you're trying to encode value in someone's mind, you have to be strategic. And if you don't, you end up with associations which lead to perceptions that work against what you're trying to do. I think to some degree, the National Park Service, they had realized that from that standpoint, they hadn't really thought through the brand strategy the Statue of Liberty. And so that's why they arrived at the conclusion that they needed help.
So what did you, what'd you do there?
Yeah. So we positioned the brand and this was, just about 10 years ago in 2009, we took them through one of our, signature workshops, which, and I'm sure, most of your listeners will understand the concept of brand positioning. And basically, the way refresher for folks is we define the primary target customer or target audience, and then we got into brand essence, which is the heart and soul of a brand. And that an example of that would be Nike Authentic Athletic Performance. And you know, Nike, they use that as their lens to make all decisions, whether it's a new employee or a new fabric, new sneaker design. If it doesn't align with authentic athletic performance, they don't do it. So we determined that for the Statue of Liberty brand. Then we went and we developed the brand promise, which is the differentiating part of positioning. What is that one thing that the Statue of Liberty can own in someone's mind? And what are the proof points or reasons to believe? And we also thought through the brand's personality. And then as an addition to this work, we thought about how we could link these 21 other monuments or locations within the immediate park system to the Statue of Liberty and to this effort to try to lift their awareness and ultimately the foot traffic at each one of these at each one of these places. So it was very interesting work for sure, and we were right in the heart of Manhattan, and we were essentially overlooking the statue when we did the work, and then we went out to see the statue. So it's one of those memorable projects that I've worked on in my 25 years of doing this work. So thank you for asking about that. It's been a while since I've thought about it, but I really enjoyed talking about it.
Well, it's a neat project, and as you talked about it, it's I love the whole arc of that story from, you know, who would think that the Statue of Liberty needs awareness, but the whole strategic need that emerged and that lens to pull the foot traffic through, and it's measurable. So that word lens came up again. The brand is a kind of a that decision-making tool. And it makes me kind of feel like we've come full circle a little bit, because we've talked about you can't be everywhere, that leads to kind of a cloudy, confusing media marketing strategy. But then on the other side of things, it almost seems like we have a lot of confusion, because beyond being unfocused marketers, we have unfocused brands that aren't able to use their brand as a lens, because they don't have some of those key questions about essence and promise answered.
You're absolutely right, and it surprises me at times to go into established businesses and see things that are that haven't been thought through, even fundamentals. And it's partially, though I've got to say, it's partially the fault of the marketing discipline that we created, because along the way, we've also created this confusion. I mean, there is 15 accepted definitions of a brand. So you have people, we've created our own language, and not everybody is, or several languages, and not everyone is speaking on the same language. So when I work with a brand where you have a marketer that came from Coke and one came from Nestle, and then they're at this new place and they're not really thinking about brand in the same way, every engagement has to be started with some level of engagement, or rather education, just to just to get people thinking about, you know, what is a brand? And my definition, and there are many, and certainly they're all interconnected, but my favorite definition is a brand is the sum of all experiences a customer has with you. I think that pulls everything together for me. I don't try to get the whole world to rally around my particular definition, but it would be helpful if we landed on one in this practice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like you talked about there being 15 accepted definitions of a brand. I'm not sure I've heard that number, but I believe that number. And the problem of all these different definitions, and it's really a whole language. And we haven't bothered to, you know, give the translation, give the language consistently to everyone. I usually, as we're talking about all this with clients and elsewhere, as a joking level set, I say, don't get me started on the branding within the branding industry.
Yeah. It's something we've in some ways created our own problems. I mean, I would probably Nick, I mean, what could I add to that other than I something that pops into my mind when we think about branding and then we think about the next level up, which is marketing. And it made me think of a mentor of mine who I knew was Jack Trout, who was one of the fathers of brand positioning and coined the term in 1969. And he was fond of saying that marketing is too important to be left to the marketers. And that is true in the sense of language even. I mean, the top of the organization should be talking about the brand and driving that and thinking through these fundamentals and really being the ultimate brand champion. But oftentimes this important work is delegated to just the marketing side of the business. And that's a mistake because brands are really built from the inside out and everybody needs to be moving in the same direction. It's enterprise-wide charge, you know, it's not just, just the marketers. So I know it kind of took us in a different way, I think an important point to think about.
Yeah, too important to be left to the marketers. Smart words from Mr. Trout to wrap up on. Now, as we start to close and think about brands and our responses and the sum total of those experiences, Derek, what's a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, just this week, I came across the latest campaign from Birds Eye Foods. They've got a meatless product out there. And the way they're going at it is, of course, they're using humor, which is, as we know, the most retained form of advertising. They're using vampires to promote a meatless product. And what I thought was really funny about this, Nick, is you see a lot of these vampires at a convention and they're biting into these hamburgers that they think are meat, but they're loving them. And then someone says, these are meatless. And then they all kind of look at each other and have to admit that they like something that's meatless. And then one of them admits that, well, I guess I'm a little bit veggie. And they all kind of make that admission that it's okay to eat something meatless and bloodless every now and then. And but I thought the execution was really clever. And you know, from my standpoint, of course, that's not a client of mine, and I'm, you know, just making these comments from afar. But I think that they could really build on that platform, just like Geico did with the cavemen. They could really use that campaign for quite some time, and I hope, especially in the emerging category of meatless things, we'll see where it goes. But I hope it's not just a quick 30-second spot and then it goes away. I think it's a great idea. It made me smile for sure.
I love that. If it's good enough for a vampire. Derek, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, there's really two places. One, you know, and I appreciate, Nick, you talking about brandingstrategyinsider.com as much as we did in this episode. That's one place. But we also, the company behind brandingstrategyinsider.com is The Blake Project. And also .com, and I can also be found on LinkedIn very easily at Derek Day. Nick, it's great to be here and be bouncing these ideas back and forth with you, and I certainly appreciate everyone who's listening in.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Derek, thanks for being on Brand with us.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, you can find those show notes, links, and more at onbrandpodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. For more info on me, including how you can sign up for my In Case You Missed It newsletter, please visit nickwestergaard.com. That's Westergaard with two A's. Until next week. I am Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.